Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acreck, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Jada. I just recently moved back to the area. Yay! And now I live kind of, sort of, technically not in Hudson, but I'll say Hudson for now.
Cool. And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, and bookish things.
And that's what we'll do today. We're often joined by our friend Fatia, but Fatia couldn't make it this week. But I'm so excited Jada is back in the area, back in Bound by Books, back in the library. It's very exciting.
Yeah, to see you again. Very happy to be here.
Yay.
Do you want to go first or should?
Why don't you go ahead? What have you been reading? Literally today, yes. Right before the radio.
Yeah, so while I was waiting for the radio to start, I found this book, these two books, volume 1 and 2 of The Graveyard Book by Neil Gaiman. They're graphic novel editions, and each chapter is illustrated by a different artist. I don't recognize most of the artist's names, like, at all, but the art style was, while different from each other, still very similar in the way that things were drawn. It wasn't, like, drastically different. Like, it wasn't anime style and then realistic and then cartoony. They were all, like, very similar in how they were drawn, but there were those small details.
That's cool. So each chapter is different?
Each chapter is a slightly different style. Like, you can notice it with some parts of it, but with other parts, you know, it takes you a while to realize.
I just wanted to peek at them. I'm curious if I know any of the artists.
The artists are on the back.
Here's
two.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm familiar with these names either.
But they're all good at the with the art. The Graveyard Book is about this boy named, just gotta double check.
Is it Nobody?
Yeah, Nobody Owens. He goes by Bod, or Bode, I don't know, I think Bod.
Yeah, I always thought it was Bod.
Because they keep getting his name confused with Bob, and it's not really Bob. So, and it's about this boy that, from a toddler age, ends up in a graveyard. He gets taken care of by a vampire and the ghost who live there, and he has adventures. And he learns how to do some things like a ghost, like fade in and out of walls.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very interesting series, and I definitely recommend it. One more chapter to go before it's over, and I can't really tell much else about it without spoiling it, but it's all about how he has adventures in the graveyard and learns about the ghosts, and also can't really go out of the graveyard because he went to the graveyard as a toddler. He just climbed out of his crib for some reason. He was a very early walker, but when he did that, he just so happened to very narrowly escape the killer of his parents and older sister.
Mm-hmm. And there's the sense that the killer is after Bod, and that it's not safe for him to leave the cemetery.
Yeah. So he still has to stay there, although he does leave a couple of times in the books. They're very entertaining, and I definitely recommend them. So there's this volume 1 and volume 2, which is a graphic novel adaptation, but the novel itself is a national bestseller and a Newbery Medal winner.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good book, and like I said, I recommend it.
Yeah, I haven't read the graphic novels yet, but I read the novel a long time ago. It was a really great book. Really liked that one a lot. And the illustrations for the original novel are really cool, too. So it makes sense that it would translate well to a graphic novel. And my understanding is that it was, like, loosely, at least, based on the Jungle Book. So it's sort of like, what if the Jungle Book happened in a graveyard?
Well, it became a different story in many ways, but it did have some of those same similar vibes, so I think that they did an excellent job with that.
Nice. Well, so you can check those out, whether you want to do the novel or the graphic novel, at the library. I have a couple books I could talk about, too, two of which are graphic novels that I read at the end of 2024. So first one I'll mention is a book called How It All Ends by Emma Hunsinger. And I'd say that one is probably geared more for teens, but it's like a young teen is the main character. She's 13 years old. And I'll just read the description for this one because I read this a little while ago. 13-year-old Tara lives inside the nonstop adventure of her imagination. It's far more entertaining than dull everyday life. But when she's bumped from seventh grade directly to high school, she gets a dramatic jolt to reality. Now, Tara is part of a future she doesn't feel at all ready for. She's not ready to watch the racy shows the high school kids like, or to listen to the angsty music, or to stop playing make-believe with her younger brother. She's not ready to change for PE in front of everyone, or for the chaos of the hallways, or for the anarchy of an English class that's overrun with 14-year-old boys. But then there's Libby. Tara doesn't know whether she's ready for Libby. She can't even explain who Libby is to her because she doesn't know yet. She just knows that everything's more fun when she and her classmate are together. But what will happen next? How will it all end? This debut graphic novel is a clever and candid portrait of a young girl grappling with the pressures of fitting in, finding your people, and sorting through confusing feelings. Emma Hunsinger has a pitch-perfect ear for the awkward yet endearing moments that accompany growing up, and her illustrations are downright hilarious. She brilliantly captures the humor and the horror of self-discovery and the first blushes of having a crush. How It All Ends deftly explores how unbearable, but exciting, it is to grow up.
I think I read that book.
It's really good. I thought.
Oh yeah, I did.
Visually, it was very interesting. It wasn't like a standard graphic novel with like the panels and stuff. It was more of a full page graphic novel, and the color scheme was really interesting.
Yeah, the color scheme actually kind of reminded me of Gwen Stacy's world in the Spider-Verse movies. You know how the colors were all blue and reds and kind of mixing together like that. It was a very nice kind of like watercolor reminded me of. I read the book and I do recommend it too. It was an entertaining read and it was funny to see how, you know, she was so much younger than them and she had to try to fit in with people who've already gone through all of those stages of life that she's currently in.
Yeah. I think even if you don't skip multiple grades, there is a lot of pressure at that time in life to like grow up and like to leave some of your imagination and your like curiosity and fun behind, which is a shame because those are like some of the best things about being human is having like this like imagination, fun world that you can dive into. And so I think a lot of people would be able to relate, even if they can't relate to skipping grades, that they can relate to those things that you want to hold on to, but you feel like you're not supposed to because you're supposed to act more mature, act older. But I really liked the scenes where she's playing with her little brother and they have this like imaginary world that they go into. And then seeing her friendship with Libby and how that forms, and even the pressures along there, like she's worried that she's going to say the wrong thing and that Libby won't like her. But then of course she ends up saying something that doesn't feel true to her. And Libby's like, huh, that's weird. So it like backfires, as you might imagine. But yeah, I thought that was a great book. And it's a debut, so look forward to reading more from her when more comes out. And I'm trying to remember if the other book that I wanted to talk about might also be a debut graphic novel. Not a debut novel, I don't think, because I recognize the author's name.
Apologies for the yawning. I stayed up until 2 on New Year's. And my body's still getting used to not doing that.
It's a challenge.
Worth it.
Well, let's see. I'll read the description for this one as well and then talk about it. So this one is a very different style and feel of a graphic novel. I'd say this one's a middle grade graphic novel, but I think it's good for all ages. It is called Kate is in Trouble. And apparently it's the first in a series, which is exciting. It's by Gary Clement. And it's an odd one, but in the best of ways, I think. So here's the description. A boy named Kay must navigate a world of outrageously unkind adults in this hysterical, Kafkaesque middle grade graphic novel with art reminiscent of James Marshall. Kay is nice, polite, and always does as he's told. Kay is also always, always in trouble. No matter what he does or says, it seems there is someone ready to blame him for everything. Kay is in trouble for going to school. Kay is in trouble for staying home. Kay is in trouble for running an errand, getting sick, or just being thirsty. Kay gets into trouble with imperious crows, persnickety station agents, bombastic teachers, his own classmates, even one nice fresh carp. Whether it's his easily annoyed parents or prickly pedestrians on the street, Kay gets on everyone's bad side, and he didn't even do anything wrong. Gary Clement takes a unique approach to the absurdities of childhood in this hilarious series opener that reinforces a timeless, most adults know less than a talking beetle. I think there was a word missing in that description, a timeless something, but I like, most adults know less than a talking beetle. Don't know if that's true, but talking beetles are quite wise. But it's definitely one of those stories where it's just like, poor Kay just keeps getting in trouble for everything. He's like super chill about it. Like, he doesn't seem to have like a strong response to it.
He's like, oh, well, I'm he's in like, trouble for that again.
Yeah, just is what it is.
I can relate to that though, because sometimes you try really hard and then you get in trouble for it anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, his little adventures are funny. Like the one with the carp. His mom tells him he has to go out to the market and get a carp, but all of the sellers are out of carp, and he finally gets his hand on one, but then he needs to buy it and transport it, but then he doesn't have money, so he sells the bucket that he brought to carry the carp to the person, so then he's carrying the fish in his arms, and at some point the fish convinces him to let him go for a swim.
And then he goes
away. It's just like, yeah, just like little adventures, like silly little adventures. It doesn't have like much of a, there's not really like a plot. It's like each chapter is a different misadventure, as you might call it, where he's getting in trouble for something. But I don't know. It really worked for me. I thought it was fun and silly. And it's funny seeing adults behaving unrealistically and badly and just being nonsensical. So yeah, that was Kay is in Trouble, Volume 1 by Gary Clement. And both of those are out currently. And they're very different. I don't know if we have Kay is in Trouble yet, but we will get it if we don't. We definitely have how it ends. But they're both available through the library, so you can get them brought in if we don't have them on the shelves at the time. But yeah, those are two books that I finished off the year with. I also have one more I could talk about. And it's a book for adults, but I think it would be a good teen crossover and maybe even a tween crossover. I don't remember there being anything problematic in it. It's called Mina's Matchbox. It's by Yoko Ogawa. And it is a story of a young Japanese girl named Tomoko, who is 12 years old. And over the summer of 1972, which comes into play later when they're watching the Olympics, but she lives in Tokyo with her mom. Her dad's recently passed away, and she goes for the summer to live with her family, her aunt and that family, and some cousins, sort of out in a more rural area. And it sort of just focuses on that summer and her experiences there, but a lot focuses in on her relationship with her cousin Mina, who's a little bit younger than her and suffers from an ailment, and so is like not able to walk to school. She has to ride her pygmy hippo to school. And she's somewhat sheltered. She can't go as many places as she'd like because she travels by hippo. And so Tomoko goes like on errands to the library to get the perfect book for her, or they just have a lot of adventures on the property of the house. They have a pygmy hippo because there used to be a zoo on the property before World War II. And that pygmy hippo is like the last remaining animal from that zoo.
We should normalize traveling by hippo.
Yeah, it would be very cute. It seems like the townspeople are into it. They like always say hello to her and her hippo as they walk by. It's probably a slow way to travel. I assume pygmy hippos don't move very quickly.
So then you should leave earlier. Just plan ahead for like 2 hours before you're supposed to get there.
Yeah. But yeah, and the Mina's Matchbox part is that at some point, Mina decides to share with Tomoko her collection of matchboxes that all have these different pictures on them, and she tells stories about the pictures on the matchboxes, and she gets them from a delivery person who she's like, her family's Mina's family's the heir to a soft drink empire, and they get deliveries of this soft drink I forget if it's every week or every month, but they get frequent deliveries of the soft drink. And when they come, the delivery boy brings her a matchbox, and she has a little bit of a crush on the delivery boy. So it's a special like treasure of hers, but she has a ton of them. So I feel like this book, it's not super plot heavy. Like you don't have, there's not a huge arc to it, but it's a nice sort of slice of life and like moment in time. I feel like it does a really good job of capturing the place where they are, the time where they are, and the different characters and relationships there. So that was really great.
I was just thinking that if they get free soft drinks like every week or month, then their dental bills must be off the roof, number one. And also, I don't understand, like, is Mina's ailment just so bad that it had to be classified as an adult, or is it just not like something that children typically want to read?
I think it's more about the, I think it was written by an author who writes books for adults and just happens to be about young people. I don't think there was anything specific that made it not for young readers. I do think it's possible that like some young readers won't like the lack of strong plot or story, you know, that it's kind of like an everyday slice of life kind of thing. So that might be part of why. It's also possible that I don't know how they decide what the audience is for books here, let alone in Japan. So it's also possible that in Japan it was marketed and written for an adult audience and they just followed suit when it came to the US. I think that there's a lot of books about young people that are written for adults, and it's not always clear exactly why they decide that. I didn't decide.
It's still pretty interesting to me, though, because from the description, like you said, it doesn't seem overly, like, violent. Like, Mina's isn't got on her hippo and going on an adventure to the drugstore, like the actual drugstore.
Yeah.
Like, that's not something that I think would happen, because she's, like, around 10-ish, you said she was a couple years younger. So it does sound like an interesting read, though.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. And there's actually one of the book clubs that the library participates in that's through the Columbia County Library Association is reading this book for January. So maybe I will join the book club and talk about it there, see what other people thought of it. But that's the Zoom Around the World book club. So if people want to check that out, they can find out more info on our website, HudsonAreaLibrary.org. That's also where you can find out information about other programs that we have.
Or you can come in the library too, because in the hallway you always have all those posters about what stuff you're going to do.
Yeah. We have a big flyer wall in the library that has both library programs as well as other community events, and then in the hallway we have more posters with our programs.
One pro of going to the library yourself to check it out is that you can say that you went to the library to check it out and then say, but I had to make a detour to check out this one book.
Yeah.
And then you can read all the books in the library, which is my eventual plan once I get older, to read all the books because I'll be more mature.
Good luck. I bet you could do it. Actually, if I had to put a bet on someone that could read all the books in the library, I'd put my bet on you. But, whoa, it is hard.
Starting from tween age up to adult, and then when I have kids, I'd read all the children's books in the library, like for little kids.
Yeah.
The only thing is I just need to get worldwide book production to, like, stop for a couple of years.
No new books.
So that I can catch up.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll take a while.
They should do that with movies, because there are a lot of franchises and book series that I want to join in, but it seems like everyone is either halfway through or finished the series, because they started it when it came out. And it's like, why? I want to do it too, but there's like, when you started, there was 2 books. When I'm starting, there are 27 books.
Yeah. Yeah, that's challenging with, especially with like some of the graphic novel series. Like some of the manga series have so many volumes. Yeah, I think the trick I would have with trying to read all the books in the library, aside from just not having time, is that if I'm not liking a book, I find that my reading, or if I'm not loving a book, I should say, because if I'm not liking a book, I'll just stop reading it. But if I'm not loving a book, it slows down my reading pace. So I feel like that would make it challenging if I tried to read every single one. If I hit one that I didn't love, my reading would slow down.
Even if I did just shorten it to like only fiction books, that would still be like a good portion of the books in the library.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, I've been wondering for a while how do libraries let you get enough funding to get more book stuff, because a lot of the programs that you run are free.
Yeah, all of our programs are free. So we raise some funding. We get some funding through tax dollars, and then we raise about half of our budget through fundraising, donations from individuals, fundraising events as well, to get the money we need to operate the library. So like, there's obviously buying the books, there's paying for the programs, there's paying the rent and the heat and the electric and the internet.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking about too.
The staff.
Well, you do have a lot of books, and I'm sure that maybe, you know, in the very rare case, maybe someone found a book, like got a book as a present and it was in perfect condition, and like, actually, I read this book and I have 17 copies. Might as well give one to the library, and if that could happen. But what I was wondering is that this is actually a very big building, and the library itself, the actual library part of the library is pretty big too. And so I walk in and I'm like, tax dollars really pay for all this? Really? I don't think that it's that much, because the place that we do live in is pretty small.
Yeah, the tax dollars cover about half of our budget, a little bit more than that, and then we have to raise the rest. But yeah, we do get some nice donations from people. People donate books for the book sale, and occasionally there's like a brand new copy of a book that we feel like would be a good addition to the library, or sometimes it's a new edition that of a book that we already have, but our copy's kind of worn out, so we can swap it out with a new, fresh copy. We also have a cool adopt-a-book program where people donate $15 and they choose a book from a list that they want to adopt. And so when that book comes, so they adopt the book, we purchase the book, and when it arrives, they get to read it first, and then it becomes part of the collection. So that's a nice way to help build our collection too. Yeah, and occasionally we get grants that support funding. Like we had a grant that supported buying some Spanish language and bilingual English-Spanish books for our collection last year. So that helps.
I have an idea for a sale. Like if you were going to do a bake sale, then you can say like the X customer, like the thousandth person who buys something gets to choose one free book that's coming out, like the adopted book. But the person who makes that one sale, like the thousandth sale, gets to choose one book from the adopted book program, and they don't have to pay the money. Oh. They just get it from, you know, buying a cupcake.
That's cool.
I know I'd be in the line every 5 seconds because
you'd buy
I
a
love
lot of cupcakes.
Sweets and I love books, so it would be worth it for me.
That's a nice idea. Yeah, sometimes the Friends group does our library book sales twice a year, and they do it as a book and bake sale, so that's when we do a lot of the bake sale kind of things.
Yeah, I missed it the past 2 years. I love the book and bake sales because that's because it's supporting the library. It's one of the only times that Mom lets me go out and buy sweets.
It's for a good cause, you know?
For helping in my stomach and also for getting books to the library.
Yeah, it's a win-win. Getting some sweets and helping the library. I like it. Those are the kind of fundraisers I like best, when they're like, get a meal and like a portion like supports the library. And I'm like, yes.
Eat a cupcake and a dolphin saved. That's the best. The stuff like that. Yeah. It just feels really good.
Yeah, I like it.
And then if someone accuses you of breaking your diet, you can say, it was for a good cause, okay?
Nice. Well, on that note, we're just about out of time for today. But we hope everyone out there listening has a great week with lots of quality reading time. And we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Until then,
happy reading!
Whee!